So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. We've been told that we need to say something up top informing listeners that this is a new episode. Seems obvious to me. If it was an old episode, I wouldn't be calling it new, now would I?
And you wouldn't be hearing those sirens in the background.
Yeah. We'll have a different sound effect next week. Quick Question is the advice podcast where two best friends who happen to be TV writers separated by 3,000 miles catch up and answer questions because a couple of years ago we heard that there was a lot of money in podcasts and we're looking for our slice of the pie.
Just trying to get our beaks wet.
Just getting that beak fucking sopping wet. That's all I want. I'm Daniel O'Brien. I got a dry ass beak right now and I'm looking to get it just doused with podcast cash, and I'm joined with, as always, by Soren Bowie. Soren, hello.
Hey, it's me. You know, it's funny you should say your beak is dry right now because I am base deep in some water right now with my beak, just getting it all wet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm confused about the bit. Are we making money or not?
Soren, what was the accent you just did?
Oh, no. You don't like this? You don't like this new, my new me that I'm trying out?
No. And who's that other voice who is very reasonably criticizing the new me that Soren is trying out?
Hey, Dan, it's Bacon. That I wish you could see Soren's eyes just like squint a little when he was doing that voice.
Give it a try.
Time.
Maybe it'll grow on you.
I wish you'd prepared something a little bit better, because at this point, you must know that I'm going to turn to you in the intro of this show to say something. And you said, hey, Dan, I wish you could see Soren. This is an audio medium.
Yeah, I'm trying to fill you in like you were in the room, like everybody was in the room.
Okay. As always, we are Quick Question, and as even more always, you, our listeners, have a name that you prefer to be called, and that name is, hit it, Soren, what is it?
The Three Questioneers, starring Quiz O'Donnell, Tim Query, and Kiefer Sutherland.
We can't, nothing, and like, so obviously this podcast has to stop. But also the rest of the world has to stop because no one can continue once Kiefer Sutherland has been stated out loud in a room with air in it.
And now we've said it twice. If we say it one more time, he's summoned, I think.
He's going to show up, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy that I handed that off to you. At any rate, our listeners, which I've already forgotten everything except Kiefer Sutherland, we like to call out one review every week to read on the show. And how do we pick that review? I'll never tell. But this week, Bacon told me to do this one, so we're going to do it. This is from one of our Patreons. If you have disposable income and, like, even if you do, you shouldn't give it to us.
Stop qualifying it. Just give us money.
No, like, someone could give us money, but they shouldn't. But someone who did sent us this question. And it's, it's so long. I mainly became a Patreon because I don't listen to the podcast on Apple, so I couldn't give you 5 stars there, or I couldn't figure out how to do it. This podcast has become one of my favorites. That's nice. I stay in contact with one of my best friends by thirsting over Soren and Daniel, and sometimes Bacon. Impossible. While we listen to the episodes and debate the questions between ourselves, so it has become a great support in our friendship. You guys are so kind and empathetic and sweet and cynical and smart and etc. I know that this has become too, spelled wrong, mussy to be ever on air, but you have a very small and dedicated fan club in Iceland. Congratulations on the Emmy, Daniel. It was well deserved and I cheered for you. That's kind. Now for the question, how do you deal with negative reviews of your work? Oh my God, that was long. Yeah. I was very kind. I do lots of bits about how I hate this show and anyone who supports us, and I feel them deeply, but that was very nice of you and I appreciate it.
That's a really sweet one.
You have a name that I if I tried to pronounce it, it would be a racial hate crime. There's like a bunch of umlauts over letters that I didn't think umlauts could be over. So I won't embarrass either of us by trying to pronounce it.
Dan, there's a, I looked this up when I saw that review because I think it might be a local dialect thing, but I think mussy is definitely a word.
Mussy?
M-U-S-S-Y is a, it's a, I think it's a synonym for messy.
Well, yeah. Bacon. Yeah, that's what I would have guessed. Like, when your hair is mussed up.
Can your hair be?
Yeah, people say musk for hair, I think.
No, but I think they. I don't want to speak for. I don't want to speak for.
Do it.
Pure Hildur Humsitdorf. But I think the sentiment they were going for was mushy, because it was getting very mushy.
Oh.
It wasn't getting mussy like it was messed up. It was getting mushy like it was emotional.
I thought maybe it was messed up because she thirsted after bacon sometimes. And I want to know exactly when those moments are. Is it in that disappointed silence after each time he talks?
But let's answer Pure Hildur's question.
Okay.
How do you deal with negative reviews of your work?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, I don't read them mostly. I think I used to back when, like in the crack days, I would read everything. Mm-hmm. And now I just don't read anything because I don't particularly care anymore. But also because I'm at a point in my life where nothing anyone says to me can be as mean as I am to myself every single day. Mm. I talk to myself a lot more than I used to, I think. And I am unparalleledly cruel to myself in those moments where I'm trying to like psych myself up for things. And anything anybody says to me outside of that is just sort of charming it, like that they're trying.
Yeah. I feel like the, when someone asks you questions like this, the, what they're thinking of is like the very aggressive, the meanest thing you could possibly say to a person. And those have never really landed for me. Like someone saying something wildly negative just slips off my shoulder. But someone saying something medium true, that'll destroy me. Like I can write a cracked column like I did back in the day and someone could be like, this is fucking awful. I hope you die. I want to kill your family. You suck. And I'll laugh that off. But if someone wrote, not your best, I'll sit with that for a week. I'll live with that and be sad about it for a very long time.
Yeah, I think I remember those aren't muskets, which is a Michael Swaim sketch group before he was cracked. They did a sketch once and one of the comments on it was nice underbite. And all of them sat there for a very long time trying to first figure out if it was them.
Right.
And then trying to like figure out what the person, what their intent was, like what they were getting out of it. And it made them sit there and think about this person for a very long time, which I think is the goal when you say something really awful and mean.
I think like an expert trolling is something that has an ounce of truth to it that you can sit with for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. We did a sketch once with Rachel Bloom where I was I was the Flash and I was wearing a Flash costume. And it wasn't even a mean costume, but somebody just put a time code and then said, you can see Soren's penis. And through the outline of the costume. And it really bummed me out a lot.
Right.
That was like the harshest. I think that was the one that got to me the most.
Yeah. And that was the weird thing because that was the take where like your penis had gone out through your arm sleeve. It was like your left arm was out and then your right arm was just a penis. And you wanted to like stay true to the character and be super fast, so fast that no one would even see it. But then this a-hole was like, if you pause it, you can see it. And that sort of deflates the character.
The director was, to be fair, the director did watch it in frame by frame and say, I can see your penis out of your sleeve hole. If it did the scene, do you want to redo it? And I said, no, be true to the art.
Yeah, of course. Well, thanks for making us talk about that question, Bacon.
Moving on.
I have a question for you, Soren. A quick question.
Shoot.
Have you ever had a "I'd like to speak to your manager" moment?
But you go first. I want to hear yours first.
I had my first. I don't normally do that because in any situation that I've been in, when I've felt like I've been wronged or mishandled as a patron, I've either thought, "Oh, the person who's handling me is having a hard day, so I'll move on," or I've thought, "I'll just deal with this thing that is wrong forever." But last week I had 2 days off, and the worst thing you can do is give me time, because I will be cranky and entitled and white with that time. And we have a digital marketplace at my apartment complex where anyone can post when they're selling something or trying to buy something, or like I'm advertising my skills as a babysitter, or I want to get a poker game going, whatever. It's a digital marketplace. You have the information that you need. This person a week ago posted a thing about how he didn't like how dogs were barking in the building. And he posted an offer to, it was all satirical, it's a fucking joke, an offer about how you could put your dogs down. He's a hack, he's not funny. He was like, "Oh, it seems like not everybody knows that dogs can be quiet. So you can go to my friend, Dr. Jack Kevorkian, and he can handle your dogs. It's a painless process and it's free. Just do it, because the dogs are too loud right now." So it's essentially this post about this guy who wanted anyone who had a dog that was barking to have their dogs put down. And I didn't like seeing it. I was very mad. He's not on my floor, and he's not dealing with me directly. But, you know, you wake up on a Monday morning and you see a post that was like, "Hey, your dogs are loud. Fucking kill them." And I was immediately miserable. And I drafted like 3 or 4 different drafts of emails that I could send directly to him that were like, "Funny joke, counterpoint, eat my fucking ass, you idiot." But I didn't send those.
Which draft was that?
That was every single draft.
I'm glad that theme stayed through.
The first one was just that. And then like, as it went on, there were more clever versions of that that all ended with counterpoint, "Suck my fucking ass, you idiot." And I talked to my close friends and I was like, should I email this guy and tell him to suck my fucking ass? And they were like, "Think about it for a second. Maybe like take some time. Like, we agree. He's bad. We're on your side. He's bad. But like, think about it." And instead of emailing him, I emailed the building directly. And I said, "Hey, this person sent this email to the public digital marketplace. I can only speak for myself and like kind of my floor that also has dogs. We do a pretty good job of keeping them quiet. If he has a problem with a specific person, he should talk to them and not go on the public square and say, 'You should kill your dogs.' I understand it's a joke, but it's not pleasant to see a joke like this. And also, you chose to live in a building that allows dogs, so that's on you, buddy." And the building immediately responded to me. And they're like, "We've taken his post down and we're going to speak to him and we're going to serve him with a violation. And you're right. And this never should have reached your door. And we apologize." And it was the first time that I've done like the entitled justice version of things. You know, I've done like petty justice.
Yeah. Instead, you told on him, which is like technically what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. It didn't feel great. It didn't feel as good as petty justice feels, I think.
I think you're right. I think culture has told us that you don't do the right version. When you tell on somebody, you feel shitty about it. But when you just get them back in a way that they can't ever trace it back to you, oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. But also, a thing that I learned, and this is, I still want your answer on if you've ever like told the manager about something. A thing that I learned when I talked to my apartment building, they're like, "The problem is, this was never supposed to reach you. There's an ongoing dog situation on one of the lower floors. that we thought we had contained, but has somehow now reached the rest of the building. And I was like, oh, I'm not mad anymore. Now I'm just curious. What's going on?
Yeah, you got a peek inside the dog drama. Did you at any point reading his post think it might be your dog?
No.
Okay.
Just because I've talked to my, I know all my neighbors in this corner of the apartment building, and I've talked to them about Jackson, my sweet, amazing dog. And he's not perfect. I mean, he's perfect, but when I talk to my neighbors, I'm like, is he a problem at all? And I'll deal with it. And they're like, no, he'll let us know when we're getting home. Just saying hello, but that's it. He's not a bad dog.
That's good. That's really nice when other people recognize how good your pet is.
Right. He's just, if you're talking while walking down the hall, he'll bark hello and that's it.
And so I want to know now, I really badly want to know if these dogs actually do suck, but this guy also sucks.
I do. Yeah. Cause management, it was like, yeah, it's not your floor. It's a lower floor and it's been going on for a while and we thought we had it contained, but it seems like it's spreading. I'm like, eh. I mean, I still think this guy who sent the email, whose name incidentally is Paul, is an asshole, but I'm deeply curious about this ongoing dog feud.
I was thinking about this the other day, that how nice it is sometimes when the universe allows me to hate the things that I already hate. And the fact that he said something that immediately my cockles go up. Is that the right phrase?
Hackles.
Cackles? Okay.
Hackles with an H.
Oh, my hackles, not my cockles.
Yeah. No. Cockles is a type of shell based.
My cockles went up because my beak was getting wet.
That's what comes out of your sleeve.
and then for the joke to be so bad makes me just feel so good about how much I don't like him. It's like, oh, thank God he also sucks at writing.
Right, because he tried to do like, it was clear that the joke he was expressing was, I will put your dogs down. I will kill them. I will put them to sleep forever. And then he, because he's a fucking hack, was like, I don't think they're going to get it. So I'm going to say my good friend, Dr. Jack Kevorkian, which timely reference, Paul, throwing that in there was like, oh, you're like an asshole and an idiot. That's good. That's very good. I like also, that both things are true.
You can just as easily, like, Jack Morgan's actually too far removed. You could just say your friend who's a vet.
Yeah.
And you get the same message. Like, it's all clear. Yeah. As people who have been listening to the podcast and the Soricide Squad, as I like to call them out there, who know a lot about me.
Oh, fuck you.
I have recently moved. I'm dealing with a lot of contractors. And I do this a lot now, I've found, because I don't know how a lot of these people stay in business. They're so bad at their jobs, and not like their skill. They're probably great at their skill, but like interpersonal relationships and like staying on track and staying on time and getting back to you in a timely manner, that kind of stuff. They're just really, really bad at. And I had one really, really egregious example recently where I had to rush over to the house because there was a guy coming to check on a leak in the roof, and it was a bad leak. I mean, it was one where you can actually see the holes in the shingles, and underneath you can see that the ceiling is collapsing. And this is in a garage, so it's not a huge space, but he's supposed to come over a certain time. He comes over an hour and a half late, and he gets there, and I'm like, you're an hour and a half late. And he's like, no, I'm only 40 minutes late. It's like he's already like contentious over how late he is, and so I'm already kind of mad. And then I look at him, and he's wearing sandals and shorts to go inspect a roof, which is like a really dangerous thing to do, because it's, first of all, you're on a slippery surface. To not have good shoes on is a bad idea, but also it's a soft roof, so if you fall through it, you can really hurt yourself. And he hasn't signed any paperwork with me. I don't know what kind of liability system they have. And so I was like, no, you can't come. I call them flip-flops just to be mean, crueler, but I was like,
oh, yeah.
you're wearing flip-flops and socks, you're not coming in my house. And he's like, I've been doing this for 80 years. Like, I do it. This is how I do it.
80?
I'm sorry. He said, I've been doing this since the 1980s.
Okay.
Very different. Which I think also meant
I've been doing this since Chester A. Arthur.
I think what he meant was I've been doing this since you were a kid, which also kind of pissed me off too. And so I was like, but you're not doing it in my house. I'm not going to take the liability of you being up there in flip flops. And he's like, I'm not in flip flops. They're sandals. And so he keeps arguing the severity of the things I'm bringing up in a way that seems completely arbitrary. And so I was getting very, very upset. And I was like, you know, give me your foreman's number. Give me your foreman's number. And called his foreman in front of him. And I was like, this guy showed up an hour and a half late and he's wearing flip flops. And the foreman's like, he's wearing flip flops? And I was like, well, they're sandals.
You coward.
I said, well, I think I said he's wearing sandals with socks. Like that was going to help the socks were going to be like, oh, well, that's unforgivable. But he was very embarrassed. And then he said, all right, well, I'll talk to him. You don't let him in. That's fine. Don't let him in. I'll talk to him. And thank you so much for even thinking of us in the first place. If you ever have any other needs, like I promise this sort of thing won't happen again. And he just like gave up on the possibility even of the job. He was just like, no, yeah, let him go. And if we can ever make this up to you in any way, we'd love to. Right. And as soon as you get that, you just really go for broke. Like suddenly that's so empowering that I can see why those let me speak to your manager moments happen. Because as soon as you see the other person start to cave when you're mad, like it doesn't make you rescind at all. It doesn't make you, which it should. It should make you step back and be like, okay, thank you. Instead, it makes you feel very entitled in your anger. Like if they're giving, then they must really know that they're wrong. And so like, I just kept going for no reason. Just like about how late he was, about his appearance, about he shouldn't have showed up in shorts either. And as I'm going, I'm realizing that he's standing right there and I'm just digging into this poor stranger. And so I was like, oh, okay, thank you, bye. And then also shut the door on the guy. And then he went and basically sat outside in his truck for a little while. Then I saw him pop the hood of his truck and get out and go work on his truck for a little bit because I think his truck wasn't starting and I started to feel really, really bad. So I went outside and I was like, do you need some help getting your truck started? And he was like, no, it's okay. And I went back inside and felt awful about it after that. It was like, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight before, like a physical fight with somebody. It's at the end of it.
Not on like super serious terms.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been in a situation where punches were thrown and whether you came out on like what is objectively the top or not, you never win in the end. At the end, you always feel so dumb for having gotten that emotional.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that I learned from doing this, like reaching out to the apartment building and seeking justice is like I came out the other side and thought, what? I don't feel better. I don't feel like I won. And I think even if I had done petty justice, even if I had emailed this guy directly or as I tried to do, go online and see if I can find out what he looks like so I could see him and then glare at him down the halls, which I couldn't. But even if I had done that, I still don't think it would be fulfilling. It wouldn't make me feel better.
Yeah. It's like at the end of something like that, you're almost kind of mad at yourself because this person made you feel and they got to see that. And I hate giving that to anybody. Except, you know, my wife, obviously.
Yeah. Just some random guy named, you know, who knows? Could be anything. Paul consumed my day and I'm sure it didn't consume his. I guess I should kill him.
I don't think you have a choice, man. He's seen you. Well, I don't know. I wonder if they talked to him. And if they know, if he
they
knows
said
now.
They did, but I don't know. Like that could just be nonsense that they say to someone. It was like, don't worry, we're going to talk to Paul and we're going to serve him a violation. And this is never going to happen again. And he's going to know what our rules and regulations are. Blah, 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 whatever. They could just be placating me at this point.
They're also in a circumstance like that. They've got no interest in protecting you. I've noticed that when I've done like when I've called the police before, or like when I've had the police called on me, I parked in a residential street for a long time and the person who was sitting inside did not like that I was parking on that street and it made me want to do it more. And every time she would call the police, because if a car is sitting for 72 hours, it's considered abandoned and then you can get it towed. And she got my car towed twice. So I would just go parked over there. And the reason I found out it was her is because the first time it happened, I called the police and I was like, I think my car's been stolen. They said, what's your license plate? Here, it's been impounded. This is where it is.
No, tell your license plate now.
and I was like, why? And they're like, well, this person called, are you there in the spot right now? And I said, yeah. And they go, okay, it's that address right there. And they basically told me which house it was. And I was like, you're allowed to do that? And so people in that situation feel no affinity for whoever just told. In fact, sometimes they hate you more. So I would just look out, Dan. Look out for Paul, let's say.
I will. I'm fucking ready. All right, I don't know what I mean when I say that I'm ready. I'm sleepy all the time and nonviolent by nature.
Wearing headphones frequently, never looking up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All very helpful for sabotage.
Got a weighted blanket to hide under.
Do you have a weighted blanket?
I just got it. I'm going to try it out tonight.
How heavy is it?
15 pounds.
How cold is it there?
In New York, America?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like right now it's probably 50s.
Okay. I'm very curious to see, first of all, if you continue to use it, what it's going to be like in July.
Yeah. I won't use it in July.
Oh, this is a winter thing?
Yeah.
I just don't understand I'm fascinated by weighted blankets. Everybody at my work has a weighted blanket.
It's also like kind of a therapy thing. It's like a big heavy hug to keep you contained when you're having anxiety attacks.
And so what is it?
Which you don't have.
Yeah, that's why.
Because you fucking cracked the code or whatever.
We got lucky. got lucky every day of my life.
Have you ever... you've never worn a weighted blanket, weighted vest or anything like that?
No, the closest I got was we had a production coordinator, I guess, or like a production editorial position at our job. This woman, Sarah Ricard, who we both liked. She was really funny.
Yeah.
She, at one point, in a really bold move, somebody from the floor that had a bunch of mother's websites, mom websites, brought her a wrap for her for her stomach that basically is like a tummy tuck that like makes you look thinner. It's kind of like a girdle, but it's all Velcro.
Okay. Yeah. This is not that.
And she was embarrassed by that. And so I took it and thinking I was funny, I put it on for the day and didn't want to take it off. Because it felt really nice to have that around my midsection.
It's nice.
So I had
my old therapist had me put on a weighted blanket when it was clear, like even in the waiting room, she was monitoring me from her office on a camera and could see me pacing in the waiting room, which I think is very invasive that you're doing.
Yeah, what is this, Sliver? She's watching you?
Yes, it was Sliver. That's what I said. And it was a very accessible reference that she got 100%. And I was like, what is this, Sliver? And she was like, yeah, it's kind of like Sliver.
I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it. It's been a while.
And then she's like, you seem anxious right now. And she put on this blanket and I thought, this is fucking stupid. And then as soon as I put it on, I was like, oh, this is good. I like
this
very much.
Did she put it on in the waiting room?
No, we went into her office and I put it on.
Okay. And so then you got one. And so, oh, I'm very curious to hear how it goes for you. I want to know like how you sleep, what your dreams are like, all of it.
I don't think I'll use it to sleep all the time. I think some nights when I'm feeling more anxious or if I know I don't have work in the morning, that's going to be a huge thing. If I could just like force myself to sleep in, then I'll employ the weighted blanket.
Yeah. You know, actually don't tell me. I'll just watch on my monitors, or as I like to call them, the sliver screens.
That's fair. Yeah, that's good. That's right.
All right.
Do you Dan, have any, do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. Dan, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
What personality traits are you ashamed that you're attracted to in the opposite sex? Because everybody's got something that like, they don't know why, maybe something from their childhood or whatever, at some point in their life that makes them very attracted to a personality trait that is not good for them. And it's kind of embarrassing even, and you just can't help it. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Okay.
So I've learned that my entire family listens to this podcast.
Oh,
so
shit.
I have to be very careful.
It's good that you said that, actually, because my in-laws listen to it. And oh, yeah? I think, yeah, those are the only family members I have that listen to it. But this is a personality trait that I didn't know I was attracted to until I look back on my dating history, and it's true of just about every woman I've dated. I'm attracted to women who get easily stressed out by things, like that take everything very seriously, and that it all kind of stresses them out, because
it's because you want to solve things for them?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think it's that it's nice that they're focused on something other than me. Like knowing that it's very easy for me to confuse stress for ambition, because a stressed out person always looks like they've got like 40 irons in the fire.
Uh-huh.
And so I like somebody who's ambitious, somebody who has like clear goals and that are outside of the relationship. When you're with somebody who's only, it seems like you're their sole focus and they're only interested in you, that's very off-putting for me, and I don't want to be in that situation.
Okay, but what if someone is neither stressed nor focused on you? They're just chill. They're just like being the flow.
I have no idea. I've never been attracted to a person like that.
You know what I'd be curious about is Bacon's answer.
Yeah. Does Mona listen to this? Do you want to cut her name out of this podcast?
On and off.
Does fucking anyone outside of my family listen to this?
Just Dan's parents.
Dan's parents and my in-laws.
No, you know, I like when I can be helpful, I've realized. And yeah. So when I find a lot of like personal joy in, I think with Dan, when you said like solving problems, I really like to help someone come to a solution on something. And so I think someone that's like naturally predisposed to like collaborative problem solving does a lot for me. I want the opposite of what Soren said.
Yeah.
I don't
okay.
Like,
so
yeah,
so,
Bacon, that so, is embarrassing.
So the question was a thing that you're ashamed you're attracted to. And your answer was, I like solving problems.
I like a teammate who likes to solve problems with me and that I can be both my best friend and my lover.
So I'd say my biggest weakness is that I work too hard sometimes.
Do you have one, Dan?
Yeah. I feel like for a real answer, the thing that I wish wasn't true about me is an attraction to people who are not into me or a little bit tough with me. Like that, like that's a big thing for me, is finding someone who is a little mean to me, which, I mean, that's probably there's a whole book on that answer and why I'm seeking someone who is mean to me, but
yeah,
I don't know. Someone else, please.
That's a very real answer, but I think a very common answer. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think there's a little element of that in mine as well, that I want somebody who's focused on something other than me feels a little like that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking for somebody who's cold and detached and only interested in something else, and that I'm sort of kind of ancillary.
Right. I'm interpreting it as mean to me, but I think what I probably mean is I'm not the center of this person's world. I'm not the most important thing that they have going on. I think a better version of what I want to say.
Yeah. Can you isolate it? Like, do you think that it's, if they're interested in other people, and you can see that they're interested in other people, and they're sort of cruel to your own emotions, knowing how interested they are in you, how interested you are in them, that's something you're attracted to? Or is it they're interested in other things that are not, that don't satisfy the same itch for them as you do?
I would say the latter. They're interested in other things that don't satisfy the same itch.
Yeah. So
it's like with someone who is interested in other people, that's, I'm in my 30s right now. I'm not interested in chasing someone who is clearly interested in someone else, but someone who is not putting me at the center of their world. Yeah, that's my shit. That's extremely my shit.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, we're old enough now. We've been friends for long enough that you can start to see patterns in other people. I've known you to be a very chivalric guy, that you treat women really well, that when, even when you're, there's no expectation on your end, but when they're suffering, you'll come over to their house and help them no matter what. When they're too drunk to get home on their own, you will take them to your place, let them sleep on your couch, and feed them breakfast in the morning. You go above and beyond for a lot of women, and I think that occasionally that has burned you, where women have just sort of treated you like shit.
It's never burned me.
Oh, it's always been, that's satisfied the itch.
No, well, let's separate those two ideas. I don't feel burned if I help someone get home safely and I get nothing from it. That's not a burn.
What I meant is that there's no gratitude. Yeah, I'm not saying like they owe you. I'm saying that.
No, you are.
Okay, I'm saying that they owe you, but what they owe you is not sexual. What they owe you is gratitude for that, like a thank you, or like a realization of what you've actually done for them, and an accounting for that. Like, hey, I see the magnitude of what you've just done. You drove 40 miles. This is a city you're not familiar with. You drove me home 40 miles because I was too drunk to do it on my own. And then you left very, very kindly, and I never mentioned it again. Like, there, women are the. It's hard for me to say this without actually using names. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, though, right? Do you know what situation I'm talking about?
I know the specific situation that you're talking about, where I drove a woman 40 miles home in an unfamiliar city. But I'd like you to keep talking.
At no point after that was she ever acknowledging what had happened. That was a nice thing that you, even though that was a nice thing. I mean, I'm sure that there was a thank you at the end of the night, but there was never pulling you aside and being like, hey, I was out of line, or I shouldn't have done that. And that was really kind of you to do that, which is something that, like, I think all of us try to adhere to in our lives, where when somebody goes out on a limb for you and it's clear that they're extending themselves, you recognize it. And I think that you've encountered some women who have not.
Well, you've said some very kind things. Because we're in that fucking corner again. But
Yes, sit down.
I feel like you have and will do similar things for men and women for the rest of your life. I mean, I think you and I are similar in that we have like a baseline understanding of what we think is the right thing to do, and we do them. It's not specific to me and women. Like, if I met a guy who was super drunk in a city that was unfamiliar to that person, I would drive 40 miles to get them home safely. And you would too. If we didn't know each other and you found me drunk at a bar in Glendale.
Well, hold on. Are you crying?
I'm not crying. I'm pitching you a show that I think would be great.
Oh, and I hate this.
Strangers pitching me. I have a lead on a place where we could both move in together, and it would be like, it would be a money saver for both of us if we moved into this place. So, like, do you want to do it? Do you want to move in with me and make this web series? And we're strangers.
Yeah, I would.
You wouldn't move in with me, but you would get me home safe. You wouldn't? Sorry, and it's my birthday.
I know. You mentioned it like 100 times. Yeah. It's weird to me that you're not spending it with your friends, honestly.
You're my friend.
That seems like a red flag. Yep, see? Red flag. Yeah, okay. We've certainly gotten into friendships, which I think is probably the logical direction this should go. Is like, do you also find these people attractive in your friendships as well? Do you find that people who are a little bit mean to you are your good friends?
No, I'm very lucky. Separate from you, who is a very supportive person, my closest friends are the greatest and most supportive group in the world.
It's your fans, right?
It's my So if I had to rank them, I would say like number one, fans. Number two, troops. And
number three, city of Baltimore.
Obviously. Oh my God, the city is a character. No, like I have very good friends that like we all just celebrate each other. I'm lucky, and I encourage anyone who's listening to this podcast, which is to say, Mom, find people who look at you the way that my friends Elise and Jamie and Caitlin look at me. You know, find that, Mom.
Is your mom not spoiled for choice with friends right now?
Yeah, I want my mom to hang out with my friends more.
That fits. I think it's true. My thing is also true with friends. I think it's weird when you encounter a friend who's like, hey, we need to hang out more.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, we never hang out. You and I got to hang out. Or they're telling stories to other people. And like, you got to hear this. He did the funniest thing. And like that you are the focus of the friendship. It's very off-putting.
Yeah. But you similarly have very supportive friends. You don't have like you're not, I went to your bachelor party and it wasn't like an aggressive bro thing. It was a bunch of buddies hanging out. Like we all just like enjoyed being around each other. And this is like your brother and your college friends and your new LA work friends. You just like surrounded yourself by positive, sweet boys.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you say that, but we went to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I split my face open and had to go to the hospital. That's a pretty bro-y thing that happened.
Yeah, but it wasn't... it wasn't like at a strip club or anything.
That's very true.
We got drunk eating hot dogs at a house in Henderson.
Yeah. The context is important, I guess. I guess that's true. I don't know. I guess what I would say, Dan, is that shouldn't be something you're ashamed of.
Being attracted to people who are mean to me?
Well, that's when you phrase it like that, it doesn't sound great. You know what I mean?
I need to track down. I'm so sorry. I need to track down all the social accounts. While I'm doing that. Oh, I'm very pleased to share this with you guys. So Soren's been workshopping a one-man show that some might argue is controversial. I'd count myself among them, but that's all right sometimes. And the act is called What If Freddie Mercury Did Stand-Up Instead? It's a one-man show where he embodies, really, Freddie Mercury as a stand-up comedian. It's 3 hours and 45 minutes long. I believe he's debuting it next Tuesday brunch at the Dynasty Typewriter, but as a special treat, he's going to perform some of it right here, right now. This is Soren. As Freddie Mercury, as a stand-up comic, and he does a voice and everything, and maybe even sings. Let's hear it.
Fuck, Dan. I hate my wife. How badly do I hate my wife? She sleeps in a separate house than me. And I think there was a waiter at one of my parties that I ended up hooking up with, if I remember the movie correctly. What?
And so you're a stand-up comic.
What type of music do ghosts like? Bohemian.
And that's just
Gabe, who doesn't even know me, has his hands in his head in his hands.
You can find Soren at Soren_LTD on Twitter. You can find me at DLB_INC. You can find Bacon at MakeMeBaconPlease_PLS. You can email the show qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com. You can find the show on Twitter at twitter.com/qq_SorenandDan. You can find us on Instagram qq_with_Soren_and_Daniel. We have a Patreon that you should not partake in. We have a new engineer, Gabe, who will not provide any information for how you can hire him in the future. But he's great. We love him. Anything else to add, boys?
I'm just distracted. I'm trying to think of a way in the future to get you to do a Native American affectation.
All right, bye.
See ya. Bye, Dan.